So I am here with Mindy Wiesel on the 21st of September 2001 in the artist studio in Georgetown. And I will have you start talking about your background and your family, because I know it's very central to all of your work.
It's central to my work in the sense of the legacy that my mother was this. I think with my background, I was one of the first children born in Bergen-Belsen, Germany, which was a displaced persons camp after the war. My mother and father were cousins, and they were so happy to find each other alive. They got married, and they lived at this place for 3 years waiting for papers to come to America. And my mother was sitting at her family Friday night dinner table, and the Nazis knocked on the door and took away. She never saw her sisters again or her parents again. She was a very elegant woman from Hungary. Her parents owned a beautiful patisserie there, a Hungarian bakery there.
And she was how old?
She was 21. And she never saw her parents or her sisters. She lost all her sisters. A couple of her brothers survived the camps with her. My father was from, they had 11 children, very poor family, and 9 of his siblings survived the war, which was amazing. They were in hiding. But I was named after both my grandmothers, who were killed in Auschwitz, and they were in their 40s when they were killed, like 48, 46. And my mother spent her entire life not talking about the horrors of the war at all, but trying to keep the beauty that she knew at home as a young girl alive for me. So like when she came to this country, here she had a three-year-old. They had to cross on a boat for almost 3 weeks, a crowded boat, to get to America. It was 1949 when we came. And my mother insisted on coming with some European porcelains, a porcelain tea service that my father got her on the black market.
Traded
because she said, I have to come with something beautiful from Europe, like the kind of things I was raised with. So she came with 2 Oriental vases and this beautiful tea service, which I now have and have treasured my whole life. But that was my mother. You know, she made me believe that things of beauty were of value.
So that really then...
And I had to be it. I would have had to have been blind in my home not to feel this necessity for beauty and the belief that beauty could be comforting. So fresh flowers were, you know, there were rose gardens. There was needle points. There was European fabrics. There was always fresh fruit. There were things that we take for granted in life, but for me became symbols of survival, of the appreciation for the dailiness of life, and really my own desire to create beauty around me. I mean, this week with this tragedy that's gone on in this country, my husband walked home, and this is moving forward to what I'd like to do now. My husband couldn't get out of his law firm building downtown because they closed everything, and so he walked home, but the next day, September 12th, was our 36th wedding anniversary. So he walked home and on the way home stopped and got a dozen yellow roses. And those yellow roses, Annie, I'm serious, like sustained me all week with the tragedy I was watching on television. It's not like you take roses, you just put them in a bowl. You look at them, you smell them, you feel them, you think there has to be a God if this is here. There is evil and there is good. And I realized that the beauty of these yellow roses, watching them open all week as all this tragedy was unfolding on television with the World Trade Center collapsing, I'd go to the roses. And I decided that I'm finally going to do a series that I wanted to do 2 years ago called Beauty as Consolation.
That's a wonderful concept. It's,
I think that beauty,
comforting.
Yeah, beauty can, like last night we were driving home from Chicago and there was this concert at Carnegie Hall. It was the opening season of the National Philharmonic and they played Brahms' Requiem, and every cent that they earned at that concert was going to go for the firefighters and the victims of this tragedy. And the request of the director of the symphony was that everybody leave, nobody clap, and everybody leave in silence. It was the